You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Many women in Zimbabwe grow up in an environment of poverty, political instability, rape, and violence. With me now for the first of today's underreported segments is a remarkable woman who's doing all she can to make things better for the next generation of Zimbabwean women. Betty Makoni is founder and director of the Girl Child Network, an intervention and empowerment program, which earned her the UN Red Ribbon Award this past August, and she's in New York to participate in the UN's 51st session of the Commission on the Status of Women. Welcome to my show.
Thank you so much.
Are these problems that most young girls in Zimbabwe face today, is it as bad in the urban and the rural areas?
Naturally, there are problems and challenges that follow the girl child from birth until she becomes an older woman. I can actually say 80% of my work is in rural areas where there's abject poverty. And
so there's a social class element as well.
There is a definitely a social class element in that those who are economically disadvantaged are also most likely to be sexually abused. And the rural areas, the situation is aggravated by the fact that there are harmful cultural practices which some other people take as norm.
So many of the problems would affect boys as well as girls, but then there are the sexual aspects which only affect girls.
Yeah, with a girl child in particular, she's affected by both gender and age. Gender because they are socially constructed role as a woman she's supposed to play at an early age, and age because she's a child. So if you put together problems affecting a child and a woman together, you can appreciate the fact that I'm talking about a complex human being.
Last week, I read in the London Guardian that Zimbabwe has the lowest life expectancy in the world. It's a World Health Organization statistic, 36 years. So are most of the girls you work with in poor health as well?
It's not like that. The girls now present a new window of hope in that they are quite a lot who are born with no HIV and AIDS. But also to correct, because recently we were like the fourth with a life expectancy. So I think all of a sudden, again, it has changed a little bit. Botswana also has got about 28 years life expectancy.
Wow. And in their case as well, because of HIV AIDS. That is one of the biggest problems that you're dealing with?
HIV and AIDS is rampant, especially among the female age group, 16 to 25 years. There is a 60% prevalence of HIV and AIDS compared to 10% boys of the same age.
Is there sex education?
There is quite a lot. There is quite a lot in Zimbabwean schools. At an early age, like at 13 years, children are also taught sex education, and also in most biology classes. These are issues that are now being openly discussed and explored. But most importantly, in informal education systems, like those presented by the Girl Child Empowerment Strategy, you find quite a lot of children learn about their sexual organs, the anatomy, and girls especially because they've got a larger surface area of the vagina which is more receptive to HIV virus.
Why is rape such a big problem for young Zimbabwean girls?
I think we should take it as a very positive move in Zimbabwe because it means previously there was under-reporting. Mm-hmm. Before girls became empowered in speaking out. So when I'm comparing with other SADC countries, this is almost like a taboo. In Zimbabwe, we have broken silence on that to such an extent that 8 rape cases per day come to my offices. Not that there were no rape cases before, there was under-reporting because children are intimidated, they are threatened with death should they report.
There can be all sorts of consequences to reporting rape, including being stigmatized in your own community. But is there a cultural aspect to this that would make people see rape as being less of a terrible crime than It might be seen in another part of the world?
Actually, what we have done in Zimbabwe, there's been a lot of destigmatization of rape itself. For instance, when I started this network, I mobilized the young girls at a school, and I first opened up about my own case of rape at age 6.
So girls, you were raped at 6?
Yes, at 6 years, together with 10 other little girls. So the trend in Zimbabwe has been that if Betty Makone is a role model and a leader, he's opened up. What stops me from opening up? So there's that general acceptance that rape does okay. But the most important thing that we are faced with, do we then report on time? Now that we have got HIV and AIDS, a lot of girls need to access post-exposure prophylaxis.
My guest is Betty Makone, and she's the founder and director of the Girl Child Network, doing work in Zimbabwe for young girls. Did you feel that you had as many opportunities as the boys you grew up with?
I really had to struggle for my life. At age 13, I started working for my school fees, and I lost my mother when I was quite young, 9 years old. It means I had to fend to be a mother myself at age 9.
Now, school fees are a major impediment to universal education. You have to be able to afford to pay to go to school. So that does that mean that a fair percentage of Zimbabwean boys and girls don't make it to school?
Boys prefer boys to school.
Oh, so if a family has enough money to pay for fees, they'll send the boy, but they won't send the
boy
girl.
Because they believe that he now takes up the family inheritance. He is the man of the, he becomes the head of the family one day. So they don't want the family name to go down the drain, and they want to uplift the boy. So you find that 20%, especially of rural girls, are not in school, not because sometimes there isn't money, but because of attitude.
And I'm assuming that means that few go to universities and few are able to pursue really decent careers.
Initially, especially after 1980, when we gained our independence, there were very good positive attitudes in the country, very good positive efforts to make it free and accessible. But I think with the coming in of other economic policies, then it became compulsory for children to pay. That really posed a lot of problems to poor children.
And in a country with a rampant inflation rate, that could really be a problem. I understand that the inflation rate is over 1,000.
Definitely, we are experiencing currently an economic downturn, which is attributable to a number of factors, which I'm not at liberty to discuss right now. But also their effects on the most vulnerable, the girl child, is an issue to us.
When did you know that you wanted to do something to help Zimbabwe's young girls?
I started this network in 1998, but I think I grew up as a very determined girl, very angry that I had suffered sexual abuse. And my own mother was a great inspiration. At age 24, she died. And I'm like accomplishing what she never accomplished. So I grew up a girl very angry. And if you are angry, you are likely to do what you are trying, likely to change that negative feeling into something positive. So I started like at 6 years mobilizing other girls when we were still vendors in the high density suburb of Chitungwis.
And what are your goals for these girls?
My goal is to see young girls walking in the fullness of their potential as women leaders. Right now at the Commission on the Status of Women, we discussed that worldwide, 16% women are only decision makers. Men are deciding on our reproductive health, and normally they don't prioritize. So we want to field in more women leaders, but we don't start when the women are older, because that's teaching an old dog new tricks. We want to do the foundation when they are still young.
So how young are they when you first bring them into the clubs?
5 years old. Little girls.
Wow, 5 years old.
Yes.
How many are participating?
30,000 girls in Zimbabwe, and we have got a network of 500 girls clubs.
Do you have to convince these girls to get involved?
Now it's automatic. Initially, they didn't understand because when you're talking about gender equality, they are quickly labeled feminists. So now they are coming because here in the United States, there is a group of Zimbabwean girls who came and attained education at women's universities. We have come back home to convince other girls that education is your freedom.
So being branded a feminist is a negative thing?
According to how then the girls perceive it, but now they are beginning to see that being a feminist, it's about your feminine side, about being a woman who is strong, a woman who is independent.
Are there other women doing similar things in Zimbabwe?
Definitely. You know? I'm also the chairperson of the Women's Coalition, which is a network of 45 women's organizations. But I can say to a greater extent, they aren't half the number of people doing with the same passion and vision.
How are you funded?
We are funded by a number of US-based foundations, private foundations, and Oxfam Novib. But here in New York, we have got American Jewish World Service, who also give us institutional support and programmatic support for most of the programs we are running.
Now, that means that you're not getting any support from African organizations. Do you think that one of the problems that Africa faces these days is that it has to rely so much on support from overseas?
That's what I'm thinking, because when I came here, I met with a lot of women who are running their own foundations. That's something that really touched and impressed me, because one day I've got a dream to have this Betty Makoni Foundation and fundraise on my own. So we don't seem to generate our own income for our own problems. But also we should appreciate the fact that we are under-resourced. Much as we have the vision, resources can be a big constraint. So we would actually rely on friends out here in the West to give us the basis to start our own income.
Has the well-being of women been a political priority for the politicians in Zimbabwe?
Right now, we have seen quite a number of progressive women's laws in the country. The domestic violence bill is one of them. And girls have been prioritized, and I'm quite impressed with the fact that this is now really coming out strong. So we had utterances in the parliament or elsewhere that in front of God, women are not equal to men. And that sent an outrage amongst women. But the fact that we fought our way out, a lot of politicians believe in the struggle for liberation for women.
I'm very pleased to have had you on my show today. Thank you so much. Betty Makoni is the founder and director of the Girl Child Network, an intervention and empowerment program in Zimbabwe. She's here in New York to participate in the UN's 51st session of the Commission on the Status of Women. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.